mamas, and welcome. Thank you for tuning in to my very own Mom Bod podcast. I am still so very excited to be here with you guys. My name is Quintanya, aka Q, and I am bringing you the real and raw side of motherhood with this new podcast. Designed for moms who are struggling physically, emotionally, and mentally with adjusting to motherhood, all while balancing marriage, job, and of course, self-care. How do moms do it? Quite frankly, we don't know. But that is why I am here in this moment to guide you through it together. It's not easy, far from, and probably the hardest job there is. I am here in hopes to give you a village for moms by a mom because simply I understand. So come join my Mom Bod Village to get the inside scoop of my mom life, my journey before, during, and after pregnancies, my working mom experiences, how on earth I keep my health and fitness in check, my marriage, and so much more. Things about to get real deep, but oh so necessary. Hello again. Finally back with another episode. I know last week it was a mess, y'all. I was so down and out. I was sick. I was stressed. I probably stressed myself out so bad that I got sick. And I was just not doing hot, you know? But during that time, I was able to do a lot of self-reflection and kind of not in a good mental space. But here we are, and it is something that really needs to be talked about. We are going to be talking about marriage. Okay, I was able to do over that week of reflection, do a little poll on Facebook, and I simply asked one question, and I asked some people, random people, whoever I'm friends with on Facebook, the hardest thing about marriage. And I had so much feedback. I mean, there were people coming out the woodworks that I didn't even know we were friends on Facebook. But that was great because I was able to read a lot of things that are affecting a lot of people, whether it's affecting them personally or not. They shared it. And to see that type of insight as to my marriage is not the only one that has its struggles, and to see some of the other struggles, like, you might not think that's a struggle for you, but that's a struggle for someone else. And so it's still definitely a conversation that needs to be had. Just so that, again, we could have that support for each other, know where it is that other people are coming from, and also make it a safe space to just not judge, because sometimes we look at people's pictures or we're friends with people and we literally have no idea what it is that they're going through. And me being one of two people married in my friend circle, it has been rough because I can't always go to my closest, you know, friends, because that's just not where they're at. And so it's understandable though, right? Because we like to go to people who we can relate to and who we think, you know, would understand, or who are sitting in the same or similar boat. And so that is my whole reasoning behind going in this direction. Plus, I've gotten a lot of feedback as far as me talking about marriage. By no means am I a doctor or a psychiatrist or a marriage counselor. I'm none of the above. And so this is literally me speaking on my perspective, on my personal experience, on my personal outlook. By no means am I diagnosing anything about your relationship with your spouse or significant other. And I think that's important to also know that as well, because we tend to go, again, we tend to gravitate towards people who we can relate to. And so if there is something that I say that you can relate to, that doesn't mean that's what the issue is. You know, that's just how we're connecting. And I love to connect in a sense of that. And so just be mindful of that. And if there is ever anything that you want to comment on or let me know, let's talk about it. There will be space for that. Always, always, always space for that. Because again, I love to connect and I love to be relatable. I love to support and I love to empower. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to let moms know that we are allowed to be working moms and a wife all at the same time. We just have to figure out that balance and how to do it. And so let's go ahead and get started. So yes, we are jumping right in. Okay. I don't even know, or I had no plan as to what direction I wanted this to go in, because it is such a very, very vast topic. And I didn't know, again, which angle to really go with. So I'm really focusing on addressing some of the things that was in my Facebook conversation and really just going from there. And so I am about to read off the things that were mentioned in this post. Again, it was a lengthy conversation, almost 100 comments on there, and definitely going to do my best to really address the ones that I feel are most important, maybe not even important, but just most relatable that I actually have some insight on and feel comfortable with sharing, of course, because that's where we at. That's what we do. That's the whole point of this village, right? We getting down and dirty as far as talking about things. And so let's go ahead and get to this list. And so some people said the hardest thing about marriage was their husband. It's not hard if you have the right person. Finances, choosing what to eat for dinner, communication, asking for help, not enough time, different levels of vulnerability, attraction, some weight gain, sex, that is a big one, infidelity, codependency, keeping the romance, he gets to stay home, I go to work, identity, compromising, parenting, family involvement from other family members, being with another person's life, right? Living with someone else. Deciding who to visit, whose family to visit for holidays. Sharing a personal vision. And then allowing him to lead. Y'all, I was not expecting this type of feedback. There are some very interesting things going on in other people's marriages as well as mine. And these are all so relatable. Like, what people don't really understand, if you're not married anyway, maybe you're married and you do get it, but most of the time people don't understand that marriage is daily. Like, it's daily work. It's not you get up at the end of the week and are able to reevaluate, you know, marriage and try to fix things from there. No, you get up every single day and you make decisions that are going to affect your marriage, whether it be good or bad. And that is why I asked the question, what is the hardest thing about marriage? There isn't exact one thing that's hard about marriage. Everything about marriage is hard. And the comment that got me was, you know, it's not hard if you're married to the right one. And it was a couple of people that said it. And absolutely, that is true. If you are married to the right person and you guys clicked, you guys, the premarital counseling was great. That is phenomenal. You know, that is phenomenal. However, there were the other comments, you know, things like living with another person or learning to other people's personal vision or learning your level of vulnerability. Those are the types of things that I mean when I say marriage is hard. You know, those are a lot of other things that people don't really consider when it comes to what it takes to be married, because everyone loves the weddings and say yes to the dress and the bridesmaids and the groomsmen and the honeymoon. All of that is beautiful. Expensive, but beautiful. And we got to get past that. It's marriage is not the wedding, right? That's just the celebration of saying yes and saying I do. And so what we are going to do, or what I would like to do, is really nitpick some of these and really talk about what it means for a marriage. Not necessarily for your marriage, but how that might look in my marriage. And maybe even talking about some tips on how to get past them. And so I think that's where we're going to go with this. Literally, that's where we're going to go. So let's go. So I'm starting off with talking about it's not hard with the right one. Okay. And that can be interpreted in so many different ways. And the woman who mentioned that, she also stated, you know, from her premarital counseling that they were asked the question, can you love and live with this person even if they don't change? And so I'm assuming that the answer was yes, because they got married. And the fact that they are okay with that person, even if they don't change, that's what makes it seem like they married the right one. And so that's how I interpret it. Like, yes, if you're okay with the person that you were dating, that you were engaged to, and now that you're married to, it's not hard because you know that that's the right one. You accept everything about them. You love everything about them. However, in the context of the question, you know, what's the hardest part of marriage? It's a lot deeper than you accepting that person, right? I was really leaning towards, you know, being able to just deal with another person in a marriage in general, like the concept of marriage, you know? And so I love it. I think it is a great question. Can you love and live with another person even if they don't change? Because as human beings, we always expect people to want to change for the better, or just change to better themselves, or just change to fit whatever picture that you have of them, right? And that's not always okay. Even if we want someone, if we think that change is going to make them a better person or have a better outcome, that doesn't make it okay for them to change just because of that. People change for whatever they want to change for. Okay. And it's not really up to anyone else for an individual to change. And so if we are comfortable with who we married, especially those of you who went through premarital counseling, that wasn't something that we were able to finish. I mean, we started and it would have been nice to finish. However, our circumstances at that time, it just didn't work out. And so I was high on skepticism with considering or even thinking about this question, because I had a lot of skepticism at that moment. You know, I mean, engagement was great. It was a wonderful proposal. It was fun. But we were just going through so much at that time. And it's just like, well, okay, so we've been dating for a long time. I know you, you know me, I know your people, you know mine. But it's like marriage. Like this is real. And there's been plenty of times during our dating phase that we were just like, okay, you know, we're just dating. We're just boyfriend and girlfriend, right? We'll be fine once we're married. We'll be fine. You know, that's marriage. Like that's real. That's when life is going to be serious. And so I'm glad myself and my husband were on the same page about, you know, the seriousness of marriage and the commitment that comes with marriage, because we would always just kind of downplay all of our old mistakes and all the stupid stuff that we would do. And now, you know, being married is just like, dang, well, maybe I am with the right one. You know, we were on the same page then, we're on the same page now most of the time. And so it's just really, I really want y'all to think about that though, because can you love and live with a person even if they don't change? Like, are you okay with the person that you are today? Are you okay with your husband and how they are? Like this, that is a very serious question. And it's not the fact that marriage has to be hard. I'm not saying that marriage is just so damn difficult every single day, but you really have got to consider the person that you are as well as the person that you married, and realizing how did y'all choose to fit together and how do y'all fit together now? Because it's so, so vital for you guys to be able to merge together and become one. Because once those vows are said, like I mentioned earlier, like it's a commitment. However, there are some other things that, you know, marriage, you just can't get past. And that's what we're going to talk about in some other of these topics, because marriage it can get ugly. And that's why I brought this up today as far as talking about marriage and the hard parts of it. And so let me take it back to pre-marriage. Okay. Me and my husband started dating in 2009, July 25th to be exact. And even then we were in high school. We have known each other since sixth grade. I don't do the math. You can do the math. But so we started dating in 2009. We were juniors in high school, or about to be juniors in high school, but we had known each other since sixth grade. And we had been friends and we had talked all summer, as I don't know if people still even use that terminology, but we were talking all summer. And we made it official, I guess, to be dating in July. And so from July 2009 to May 2011, that was how long we dated for high school. Y'all, when I tell you high school was so trash, based off of high school alone, you would have never, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people would have never thought that me and him would be married this day, to this day, with some children, right? Like, and we're going on 5 years. November will be 5 years for us. And so high school was very rambunctious and very stupid. And I pray to God that I never have to go back, because those moments, that was very crucial for mine and his relationship. And to think that me and him got past it, like I'm still in disbelief. Like I still be like, bruh, like what were we doing? What were we thinking? I mean, we were really literally young and dumb. And that the beginning of our relationship, when it came to our engagement, that is where that skepticism came from, because I'm just like, okay, so we really think marriage is about to stop the foolishness. Like, how are we just gonna grow up and mature and be about like adult business? Like this marriage thing is real. Like I'm not understanding it. And so going through that process, that mental process, having that skepticism was tough, and to follow through with it anyway was tough. And I would have never thought that we would get as far as we did. Like, everyone has a love story, and some are really cute and some are, I mean, just flat out adorable, but ours is pretty ugly. I will tell you, ours is pretty ugly. I mean, to think, like, what are juniors in high school? Like, what could we possibly be going through? And it was a mess. And it was a lot of, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. I'm going to have to, that's a different story, but we here. And it's not hard with the right one, but it was hard, because every day of our dating life, again, we dated from 2009 until getting married in 2016, off and on. I kid you not, it was off and on. But we chose each other each and every time, regardless. And that is a huge, you know, controversy nowadays, as far as like putting up with certain things in a relationship and this, that, and the other. But honestly, I think God was really setting us up for marriage. Because to this day, we still, like, we might argue, we might, you know, huff and puff about things, but to this day, we still, like, choose each other. No matter how hard a situation is, we take the time to acknowledge the person that we're with, and our appreciation just grows in that moment, because we don't have to choose each other every day. And that was my point as far as it's not hard with the right one. Even if it is the right person, when things get said and things get done, you have to look into that person's eyes and say, I'm still choosing you. And that is my rebuttal, I guess, to that statement, because I'm glad if you guys have the right ones and you guys don't have any issues and you guys have always loved each other from beginning to end and accepting everything about each other. But in my case, it took some work, and we battled back and forth but to still just choose each other and end up married now 5 years, I think that is a big blessing. Next up, we have finances. Finances are so important, especially during adulthood, because guess what? There's bills. And as children, during childhood and adolescent time frame, parents, they try to tell us, they really did. But we was always just wanting to grow up and do this and do that, but not knowing what bills were at the time. Finances, that literally makes or breaks relationships and marriages. Okay, you have got to be on the same sheet of music when it comes to how pennies are being spent. And especially, I know there's a lot of people out there who do different things when it comes to their money. For example, I mean, before we were married, I had my own bank account. I wasn't going to get rid of that just because I married someone else. And so I have my own bank account. He has his own bank account, and we created a joint one, just for the heck of it. Just so that we could build up together on something else. But that's just how we do things. He has a job. I have a job. I want the money that I work for. That's about it. And so again, that was what we brought into marriage. If we brought our own, we thought we wanted to uphold that and keep moving forward. But not everybody does that. And so you just have to know what works best for your marriage and your lifestyle, because again, everybody does everything differently. There might be some people that pull from the same pot, or they want to keep pulling from different pots, and it works for them, And so for us, it just works. We also had to learn each other's spending habits. We both are spenders. We both were raised differently. We both had different ideas as to what money was used for. And then there were a lot of positive things about money that neither of us didn't know, because again, that's just how we were raised. And so learning things together also was very beneficial, especially early on in marriage. And we have a lot of people to thank for that. And so there are some things that we wish we would have been doing earlier, but I mean, it is what it is, right? You live and you learn, and you make those necessary changes if you can or if you want to. And so there are still some things that we're working on as far as prioritizing how finances are going to be spent. I mean, we had to figure things out because, I mean, being a married couple with children, especially in the military, there are things that happen, such as us moving away from family. And so with family being 1,000 miles away, it's like, well, I would appreciate if my household, kept its lights on, or if I'm able to still feed my kids, or if I'm able to put gas in my car. Like, they're the priorities. You have to figure them out. And that's plain as simple. And so it went from a matter of us learning. I mean, y'all, when we bought our first house, that was a huge step. We've each bought our own cars while we were married, and we learned some things in that process. Just managing our month-to-month bills, learning about investments, it's just so much that needs to be learned and taught that we just weren't taught. And so, yes, finances are big, especially if you have a person who is a saver versus someone who is a spender. Okay. And still, it's going to take daily work, because these are habits that you can't just break overnight. Again, marriage is not meant to change anybody. It's not meant to make a person do anything different than what they've been doing. However, it's bringing two visions together and merging into what's going to work best for the two individuals involved. Okay. And that is one important aspect of finances, because once the money is spent, it's spent, it's gone. And and you have to realize that, you can't wake up one day and just go ball out and your lights get cut off the next day. Like, that's something like that is just not okay. And so I completely am understanding as to how people are struggling with finances, because that's something we also had to learn. One thing me and my husband had to do was just the beginning of 2021. I mean, in the midst of the pandemic, kids in and out of daycare, things were just a little crazy. We decided to prioritize our finances and figure out how we can make better decisions and just improve our financial literacy altogether, because we knew that that was something that mattered to the both of us as to how much money we make and how we want to spend it. And so thankfully, one of my best friends went to school, her and her husband went to school for finance and accounting. And she really dedicated a lot of her time to helping explain things, explaining investments, and explaining the difference between accounts, explaining budgeting. There were so many things that we learned at the beginning of this year that really helped us. I mean, her main focus was to improve how people understood finance. And she did. She really did. I mean, we had big jumps in our credit. We had a better understanding of a lot of things. We made better decisions. And the consistency kind of fell off, but now the awareness is there. And that's what I can say about myself and my husband, that our awareness has improved drastically as far as where our money goes and how smart we spend it. Brain fart there. But that has really helped us because we did that together. My husband, he was a little hesitant to do that because, again, just wasn't something that he wasn't ready to address. And I was. And so we just came up with a compromise, you know, that we're going to do it together because that's something that benefits the both of us. You know, we both have our names on this house and we each have our own cars and we'll be moving soon. So finances are going to make a shift as well. And so we agreed, we had to compromise on how we wanted to go about doing that. And again, still something that we're learning. It's a daily task for us to count our money, know where it's going, know how to spend it and know what to spend it on. But then the overall thing about finances is how you spend your money is how you spend your money. One thing to one person might mean something to a different person. And at the end of the day, as long as you're happy with how you spent it, I think that is a sign of growth, because a lot of the times we make purchases that we regret or we weren't so happy about, or we did it out of, Anyway, you spend money just because you see something and you want something, right? And so I will definitely say you have to prioritize your purchases. You have to prioritize what you want to spend your money on and budget for it. Because if you want to budget for food and your husband wants to budget for, I don't know, extracurricular activities or whatever that might look like, then of course there's going to be conflict because one person's going to be doing one thing with money versus what the other person is doing. And so if the goals never get met because of that, of course, tension is going to happen. Divorces come up, finances, because people just never learn to compromise. And so that is a big part of being a hard part of marriage, because you have to be on the same page about what's happening in your house and what's prioritized in your house as far as the money goes. And so again, I have a friend, she's a finance coach now, and she does consultations, and she was very helpful. I mean, if y'all want to talk one-on-one about that and get her contact, let me know, because it was something that I will always appreciate and have her be, I mean, she is my best friend. So have her there for advice and just for simple accountability, because it's necessary. And again, finances can make or break a marriage, and you guys just have to be on the same page about where you want your money to go and who's spending what on what. I mean, it's not about being nosy. It's about maximizing off of the money that you both make or one of you make. Either way, whoever's getting the money, you need to spend it wisely so that you guys can benefit for your future. I'm going to group a few of these together because I do think they all work together. They all could lead to the same issues and they all could benefit from each other if they are all 100% being worked at. And so that's communication, the different levels of vulnerability, as well as that compromise, right? So all of that, the real gist of that is communication. And communication is so big because also as a married couple, we expect the other person to know what we're feeling, what we mean, how we mean it, what we want, what we need, all without saying a single word. And it's annoying. It really is annoying. And I say that because I'm that person. I really thought that because we've known each other since sixth grade, that was just like the recipe for us not having to explain every little thing. I was wrong, obviously. And it was annoying to always feel like we were miscommunicating or always feel like we weren't on the same sheet of music because what I was expecting, I wasn't saying. And things can get really dangerous as far as that goes because when we do that, we are really leaving a lot of space and opportunity for that person to assume a lot of different things. Again, that can get dangerous because when they assume or interpret something that you did not intend on sending that message, it can lead to a lot of separation and feeling let down and just not understood. And no one wants either of those things in their marriages. And so I think I said asking for help too, because asking for help is a huge one. And so, especially as moms. And so when it comes to all of those different things, you know, when people share that, like you have to communicate, you got to learn each other's love language because that's a big one. My love language is acts of service. My husband's love language is words of affirmation. And you just have to know that. And those languages can change. Again, marriage is a day-to-day job. And so there's different seasons of it. If your partner is feeling some sort of type of way, you guys need to sit down and talk about it, address things as they come. Because again, no one asks to be misunderstood and no one asks to be let down or for expectations to not somewhat be met. By no means am I saying, you know, give people ultimatums on doing certain things or you know, that's not healthy in a relationship or in a marriage either. But you have to address each other's level of vulnerability. Are you comfortable with sharing certain things with this other person? And that might go back to, you know, marriage being hard or not being hard if it's with the right person. But again, people go through seasons and it's still marriage is two separate individual people that are coming together to try to make things work. It is hard. It is really hard. These are two separate brains, two separate hearts, two separate souls. Like you guys have got to figure out how to merge together as one, and communicating is a big one because we are responsible for sending the message. All right. And I'm an avid believer about, you know, I'm not responsible for how it is interpreted, but I am responsible for sending a very clear and concise and specific message. And so if you are having issues with communication, maybe it's time to reevaluate who's sending that message and how you're sending it. Because the receiver, you have to be speaking their language. And if you're not speaking their language, of course, it's like you know, English and Spanish. You can say something in English, but to a person who is fluent in Spanish, it's not going to work. You have to be speaking the same language. And so open up that vulnerability and share with them what it is that you want and you desire. And in a marriage, you know, you have to be willing to trust that person to, along with communication, there are things to implement to help figure these things out. Whether if you're a book reader, definitely look up, you know, the 5 love languages. It is very helpful to understand each of the languages and understanding what that looks like for your partner, understanding what it looks like for yourself, understanding what that means for your relationship, because there are going to be some circumstances to where the communication is going to be hard. For instance, with me being a military spouse, if my love language is acts of service and he's in the field or deployed or whatever that looks like for him, those acts of services are not going to get done. Right. And so we have to be on the same sheet of music as to, okay, I can't do this, but what else can I do? Right? Because we still want to feel that love, but because he can't fulfill my love language at that time, it's my responsibility to communicate that. Again, it is very intuitive. It is very all about self-awareness as well as just situational awareness, knowing when it's time to talk about something and address something, because I cannot say enough that no one asks to not be loved in a marriage. No one asks for that. But what we do ask is for the other person to understand, and how we go about doing that is communicating that, asking for help, asking for clarity, asking, open your mouth, close mouths, do not get fed. I'm sure we were told that, all y'all was told that growing up, and that's really how it is. And so you talk, you communicate, you open up with what it is that you want. But of course, you are married to a whole other individual. Okay. They have their own thoughts. They have their own passions. They have their own values. Now it's time to compromise. If they cannot do this, then what? Right? What can we do that each of us are both still getting 100% of each other? Because marriage is definitely not 50-50. Far from 50-50. It's each person giving 100% that is going to create the bigger outcome, the best outcome. And so again, if that is something that you're struggling with as far as communicating or asking for help, because I know a young lady mentioned, you know, in a previous relationship, she didn't get the help and she struggled with that. And now that she is in another relationship, her husband is more willing to help and she still does not ask for help. And so again, there are habits in place that we are sometimes immune to just doing, but we have got to have that self-awareness and get tired of being tired. Open your mouth, ask for what it is that you want. The same thing I tell my toddler, open your mouth, use your words, so that the person that you are married to can understand you. Again, this is me preaching to myself as well, because I don't always do that. I have gotten better with it, but again, this is a daily task for me to be able to check off and say, okay, I shared what it is that I was feeling. I shared what it is that I needed. I simply just shared. Sometimes that is just, it's just hard for me because again, I am naturally an introvert. I am naturally in tune with myself or critiquing myself and really in with myself. And so when I open up the vulnerability gates, as far as this is what's happening in my mind, or this is what I need from you, that is big. And for me to know that and share that, that's big for my marriage. And so I want to encourage you guys to do the same. Find a mechanism that works for you and compromise. It's not fair for us to think that, or for us to just not let our spouses in, because we should. We really should. Like, this is a person that we're married to. We have kids together. Again, we have a house together. We have finances together. This is something that should be prioritized and should be appreciated. And so whether that's counseling or journaling or more date nights or whatever, you sit down and you talk to each other, because that's what marriage is. You talk and you communicate and you wake up the next day and you get through it. I am going to maybe talk or address maybe two more of these, because this is just so good, but might need to plan for another episode in regards to marriage so we can really get down to the nitty-gritty. But I'm going to start again with parenting. There were quite a few people who are struggling with parenting as one of the hardest parts of their marriage. And I can definitely attest to that, because if you guys have children, then you understand that each parent has a different relationship with each child or with a child. And sometimes it can be interpreted incorrectly as to how another parent or how the other parent is treating that child. But it is important to understand and accept the bond that children have with each parent, because it's going to look different. It's going to sound different. It is going to be different. I think it is true that girls are daddy's girls and boys are mama's boys, because, and there is no, because I just, that's how my family is as well. My daughter is gung-ho over her daddy, and my son wants nothing to do with his daddy. He wants everything to do with his mom. And that is okay, right? That is okay. You can definitely see it in each of our faces, mine and my husband's, when one of us say something to one of the kids. I am heartbroken when he says something to my son. And my husband's face... Yeah, it is. It's like I am hurting his feelings when I am correcting my daughter on something. And so we just kind of go with the flow. I mean, I've been told plenty of times by my husband that I'm a yeller. I am a yeller, and I need to work on it, actually. But it is something that we were just raised very different. Our personalities are very different. You know, my husband is super nonchalant and laid back and no worries in the world, I would say, but I'm more of not strict, definitely not strict, but I am the high strung one, to where if you make a mess, I will, hey, you need to come clean this up like right now. You need to do this like right now, but I have, again, I'm in this moment of self-reflection, and I also, as a mom in general, as a parent in general, me identifying just myself as a mom, it's a learning process, and it's all about learning that kids will be kids, and you have to give them that space and opportunity to be a kid and feel comfortable learning under you and your spouse's leadership. Okay. And so again, it's very difficult when you have a toddler that has the attitude of a grown person, right? It's very difficult when you're sleep deprived or when you have places to be and your toddler has other priorities, and things can get very frustrating and complicated when it comes to you and your spouse. Because again, my husband being the laid back one, me being the high strung one, like that is a huge conflict. And so we definitely try not to have intense conversations in front of the children, because one, it's already hard enough to have a simple conversation with them in the room. But we also want to have that space to hear each other's thoughts, get that feedback, get that criticism, because again, with me being a very low tolerant, short fuse person, I need that. I need that, because what I don't need is to be, you know, fussing at my kids all the time for doing kid stuff. Like, that's just not okay. And so you have to come to terms with what each of you want parenting to look like. And it goes back to communication, telling each other about that. And it's not just like the parenting styles that need to be addressed, but a lot of issues also come from people not in agreement with how many kids they want. That is huge. I mean, I joke around with my husband all the time and just like, oh, okay, well, if you don't give me a baby, that's something I can go and get, you know. Definitely wouldn't do that. But, you know, just for shits and giggles, I would say something like that. But we are currently also trying to figure that out for ourselves, because we do have a daughter outside of this marriage, and then we have our daughter and our son. And so now it's a matter of, okay, do we want a third one, right? My son is one and my daughter is four. And it is something to think about, because two children, man, it will make you reconsider everything about life some days. And then other days, it's just flat out beautiful. We have a great time. We thoroughly enjoy our family time, and we make it work. But it's in those frustrating moments to where you can make a decision and be like, hey, look, I don't want kids no more. And it's the kind of, and we on the same page about like, look, I understand. I get it. I got it. I haven't slept in days. Like, you know, what do I really want to go back to this after they're good? And so that is also something to just, again, sit down and talk and communicate, know what it is that you want and be able to voice it. Write it down before y'all sit down and saying, hey, I want three kids or I want four kids. Ideally, this would happen before you get married, but it's just not always like that. Everybody's story looks and is so different. And so when it comes to having kids, it can get real, real deep and real serious. And you have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for the outcome, because if you want kids and something comes up as to where you're not able to have kids, how are you guys going to handle that? Or if you have kids and one person wants more than the other, how are you going to handle that? And so it's a matter of a day-to-day conversation for me and my husband. And some days we look at each other and we're just like, yeah, we can do this. We can have another one. And then other days it's like, bruh, I'm about to go get my tubes tied because this cannot happen. But it's still us communicating that, whether we're joking or having a serious conversation, that is something that we both consider from each other. And we talk about it and we know, like, okay, if it was to happen, we still got to be prepared. Again, going back to finances. And so I will go ahead and point that out. As you can see, all of these things are intertwined together. All of these things make up marriage. I keep bringing another one up into conversation, because that's just how marriage works. One thing impacts the next thing, impacts the next thing, and it all regroups to impact your marriage. And so definitely sidetrack there. But anyway, yes, parenting, the amount of kids that you want, what that's going to look like, it can go down to the timing of it, where you want to have kids. Do you have the resources to have kids? It needs to go that deep so that when things happen, you are prepared and in place, and y'all know where each other stand and y'all know how to support each other in that moment. And so that's going to look different for everybody, but be on that same page. Again, read a book, seek counseling, do something so that this cannot be one of the hardest part of your marriage. It will still be hard, but I don't want either of these things to be something that you guys, you know, you finish listening to my podcast and just and keep struggling. I want this to be something that you're able to work on and address within your marriages. Last but definitely not least, is that attraction, or maintaining that attraction to your spouse. That is with sex, keeping the romance, that type of thing, right? And I save this for last because before I even decided how I wanted my podcast to look and how I wanted it to flow, I had a mom reach out to me and said, Q, I really need you to talk about sex and the things that come with it, with marriage and having children. And it is a big, this is probably the biggest one because how can I say this? So men and women are two completely different species. Like, I mean, one's blue, one's pink. One is, y'all know the saying, boys are from Mars and women are from Venus, something like that, right? And so it's absolutely true. And sex is interpreted physiologically so very different between a man and a woman. And if it's not happening, tensions run high. Simple as that, plain as day. That is what it is. That's how God made us. That's what it is. And so between a husband and a wife, that is where it was meant to lie at, right? And so when things are not going well in that department, it can flow into other areas that I have spoken of, as well as things that I have not spoken of. And keeping the romance to maintain a healthy sex life can be hard, and even harder with children. Okay, what makes it hard is you have chosen to be with this person for the rest of y'all's life, you know, through sickness and health, right? Through hell and heaven, this is your person. And so prior to marriage, however, people's lives might have looked very different. And so making that commitment is already just like, all right, we're about to be the same person. I'm about to be getting in with the same person for the rest of my life. And so sometimes that is mind-boggling for some people. And then just with, when you add kids into that, y'all, as a mom, our bodies change so much post-children, and it is mentally impactful because when our bodies change, we're watching bellies grow. We're watching our belly shrink. We're watching and feeling our vagina stretch and retract, and it's a lot. The idea of childbirth and the feeling of childbirth can make or break a female's mind as to what her vagina can be used for. Okay. And that is me speaking personally, because I had both of my births were natural. And after that, I'm just like, look, ain't nobody else going down there for a very long time, And so I know you guys have probably seen different videos and TikToks on guys. Like, it's so funny because guys are like waiting for that 6 to 8 week mark post childbirth. And women, we're just like, look, we tired. Our body is doing a lot of things. And so all of that, again, that can be a separate conversation, but all of that is going into finding time to keep the romance in your marriage with children, especially in my case with children, with young children, because the younger the child, you know, the different in sleep patterns, right? The different needs that they have. And it's so hard. And so when you are having this issue, and if you are struggling with this, this is something to really think about, because you're not crazy. It is a legit issue. Especially if you're a mom, you're not crazy. You legit are tired. Your body really is tired. I mean, your boobs really are leaking milk because you're breastfeeding. So it is those types of valid explanations as to you and your spouse talking about and getting on the same page as to what that means for your sex life. One of the responses actually came from the mom that wanted me to talk about it. She mentions, you know, there's just not enough time. There's not enough time to go to work and to come home and to be a mom and to be a wife and to be an individual woman. and there's not enough time for date nights. Maybe there's not even finances for date nights, you know, for babysitters. And so how do you find that time when you have children at home? You just have to be extremely intentional about it. But understand that sometimes you really do have valid excuses and you deserve that space from your spouse, as well as your spouse deserving that space away from you, because there is extra frustrations when it comes to managing little people. It's you're not the only people that you have to take care of, right? And so you have other responsibilities that you have to manage, and that's just part of it. You have those little people to where you have to get them dressed and you have to feed them, and that's just what parenting is, right? You're raising children. You're doing a lot of the things until they're old enough to do it themselves. And so you have to have the sex conversation with your spouse. Simple as that. You have to plan it. I know, for instance, in our case, my husband would love spontaneous sex. I don't have time. As bad as that sounds, I really don't have time between work and school and children and activities and myself and my marriage. Like, sometimes you have to plan it. Let me know. I'll put it in my planner. And it's sometimes it just really has to be like that. And it's not just for sex. It is just for now's not the time for a simple conversation. Now's not the time for us to have sex. And you just have to be understanding of each other's mindsets and answers and responses to that, because sometimes people can take offense to it. It has nothing to do with the attraction that I have with my husband. It has everything to do with, I legit don't have time right now because I just, you know, finished breastfeeding my son, or I just finished, you know, finally taking a shower in peace and quiet. It is those types of things that might matter to one person and not to the other, because it's just not something that is happening to them, right? And so you have to have that conversation as to what that looks like and what that timing looks like, because again, my husband is very valid in wanting, you know, it to be fun and exciting and spontaneous. And I don't blame him for that. It sounds amazing. It sounds great. But where we are at in life right now, it just doesn't work, right? And so again, we have to compromise and come up with things that we can do in order to keep that romance alive, to keep him satisfied, to keep myself satisfied, and to keep us interested into each other. Because the last thing that we want is for one of us to become disinterested. That, again, no one asks for that in a marriage. We want to be loved and we want to be attracted to each other. We do. We want to have sex with each other. And that is something that we have to work at, just like everything else. We have to be in tune with what the other person likes. I mean, we've been together for a while. We're going on 5 years of marriage in November, and we still, things change. My body has changed 2 pregnancies and 2 natural childbirths later. My body has changed. And so things are going to feel a little bit different. They're going to look a little bit different. And we both have to understand that, right? We are not in our young 20s anymore. I mean, we're knocking on 30. And so we have to be mindful of those things and understanding of those things. But that's just where we're at. That's where marriage goes as far as having children. You just have to prioritize it. And if you're able to get a babysitter, go out, have fun for the night, be young again, you know, thrive, try new things. But you have to be on the same page with your partner. And I cannot stress that enough. You keep the romance by doing the romance. And you really, you make time for what you want to make time for. And so that is something that even me and my husband are still trying to figure out now, because it's like, oh, our anniversary is coming up. Maybe we should get a babysitter. You know, we don't do date nights. Everything is done as a family. We're always together. And so that is something that we are really actually talking about. So yes, I do think that sex is a large part of marriage. Because there are people who are religiously, you know, they wait until marriage. And so when you have when you have that kind of relationship and now you get to your marriage and you're trying to learn sex and figure out sex, it makes it that much more important for you and your spouse to be on the same page as to what it looks like and what you guys want it to be like as a couple. Because that is a moment, again, of more vulnerability, more, attraction, more, love and so much affection in that moment. And that is important for a marriage to have those types of moments, because again, this is someone that you, decided to marry. This is your life. And this is important, you know, that again, this is human nature that we're talking about. Aside from all the extra that can come from sex, this is human nature. God intended for us to utilize this to procreate. Like that's just what it is. And so you have to make it worth your while, right? You want the sex to be good. You want it to be meaningful. You want it to be something that you look forward to. And so you have to put in that work to figure out what it is that you want to try or you like or you want to do or you don't like, right? If you've ever had sex and someone does something that you don't like, that's a huge turnoff and you'd be better off without them, right? And so you have to have that same kind of mindset when it comes to your marriage. I mean, the same effort you put towards, you know, cooking dinner and doing random, you know, random stuff for your spouse that, you know, they like, they also would appreciate good sex because that's just how humans are. And so again, this could be a matter of you reading books or you talking to a marriage counselor or anything, y'all. The whole point of this episode is to really bring things to your attention and to get you thinking about things. And I mean, if you want something different, you're going to have to do something different. And that applies to all of these things. If you want your sex life to look different with your husband or your wife, do something different. Plan it. Make it spontaneous if you do have the time. Go try some new toys and things. I mean, there's stores out there, right? And so you're with this person for the rest of your life. So you have time, right? While we have it, you have time. And so be that explorer and share, be open, right? Open up the vulnerability gates and open up that trust with your partner, because that is your partner for life. Like we aren't dating, y'all. This is not somebody that we can just, this ain't no one night stand anymore. Like this is it. And so you might as well make the most of it, because that is what's going to make your marriage. And a lot of these things are the hardest parts of marriage. I mean, all of these things are the hardest parts of marriage. But if each of you are putting in 100%, I guarantee that, like, in agreement with some of the other people who said, like, marriage is actually not that hard, because you guys are giving your full effort. You guys are accepting of each other. But we cannot do that if we're not doing that. And that's as simple as it can get. Either you do it or you don't do it. And if you don't do it, figure it out. Like, figure out what it is that is going to help you guys get through this and have that healthy marriage. I bet some of y'all are just like, what? Like, I could definitely be working on that. And yes, I'm sure you can, because everyone is not perfect. Everybody could use some sort of self-improvement. And from self-improvement comes improvement in marriages. Like, we tend to forget that. We are not the only ones in a relationship. And so we have to be considerate of our feelings, but also the other person's feelings. Like, that's marriage, y'all. And so hopefully getting this insight from Facebook was fun and interesting, and me providing a little bit of my insight into that is also always fun and interesting. And so I mentioned it a little bit, but the intentions behind this episode is to shed light on things that, even though you're not struggling with it, other people might, and to have that understanding and that vulnerability to be in a village such as this, to show that support, to ask questions, to reach out for a helping hand, because that's what we're here for. We're not here to cause any issues or bring up any judgment. None of that, like none of that is necessary. So if this is something that you want to keep talking about, let me know. You guys have given me such great feedback, and these answers are, some of them were really like, wow, like, yes, that can definitely be an issue. Not my issue, but it can definitely be an issue. And so to still create that open space, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for that. And so I talked about a lot, you heard a lot, and now you have a lot to think about, because I want what's best for y'all, especially if you're a mom out there. Being a mom, being a wife, being a woman, all of it is very hard. Being a working mom is very hard. And you have to understand that marriage, it can work. It really can. And all of these things that I talked about as well, it's going to come with some sacrifice. It really is, from the finances, from the parenting, from the sex, from the communication. It has to be sacrificed sometimes on what it is that you want. You have to realize that, and you have to be accepting of that, and know that it has to come the same from the other person. So with all of that being said, this is great. Again, I'm probably going to need another episode of this, because this is not even touching the surface. I definitely did not touch the surface, or go beyond the surface of a military spouse and what that really consists of, because a wife is one thing, a military wife, a completely separate thing. So, yes, your homework is to go out and assess your struggles, be open, be vulnerable, write it down. And the next step is to communicate and talk about it, because I want a healthy marriage. I know other people want healthy marriages. No one asks to be in a detrimental situation. No one asks to be emotionally or physically or mentally abused. That is not what we ask for. That is not what we want out of a marriage. That is not what marriage should be. And so go out, if you want something to be changed, or if you want different, go out and do different. And that was the whole point of this. Take these things and think about them, and let's talk. Shoot me a message in my DM on Instagram, and we can go from there. I'm always interested in hearing other stories and other perspectives, and getting that feedback, because y'all make this podcast what it is. You know, I can only share so much, but coming from what you guys want to hear and what you guys appreciate and how you guys are living, that's where this is at. Like, that's what makes this village a village. And I'm here for that. And so tune in next week on the next episode of Mom Bod. Thank you guys for tuning in. Peace.